If you have your Bible this morning, get ready. We're going to jump all over the place this morning. But you can follow along on the screen or your phones or your pads or whatever you have. And we're continuing on with our series entitled At the Cross. And this morning, I want us to discuss a couple of things as we look into this passage today. And those that are watching from home or wherever you may be this morning, we welcome you. Go ahead, get your Bibles out, or you can follow along as well. And we're just excited about what God is saying and doing in this series. And this morning, I want to talk about a couple of things about purpose. Everybody say purpose. You know, we're inundated with that sometimes to the point that we just hear that and we're like, oh yeah, man, purpose, purpose, purpose. But we never really do anything with it. And we never really buy into the fact that God has a purpose for our lives and that God has a plan for us and he wants to do something within us and that we weren't just created to exist and to enjoy the beautiful beaches of Panama City and the sunsets and all that and then just die and move on to glory. That wasn't God's plan for us. His plan for us is to be about his business and to be making him known to the world as we know him more in our lives. And so this morning, I want us to talk about this, that at the cross, purpose permeates. At the cross, purpose permeates. If you want to write something down, write that down this morning, okay? We're going to go through this morning, and I've got a couple of points that I want to make, but I want to ask a couple of questions. Why did God place you on earth for this particular moment? Why? Man, it's a question that's been asked since the beginning of time. People have stood out in the field and stared up at the stars and went, why am I here? You've probably done the same thing. And you might not have asked it in that capacity, but you might have just been in your pondering or your wondering of mind and heart. Ask God, God, what is my purpose? You know, when I was a young person, I had all kinds of things I wanted to do. Anybody besides Ivan? That changed like 70 times. Anybody besides Ivan? Right? You know, I had all these plans and, you know, I wanted to be an Indian one time. I thought that was cool, you know, bows and arrows, just wear the little patch thing and, you know, no shirt and shit. It was awesome, right? Run through the woods, shooting animals and eating and swimming. Who wouldn't want to be an Indian, right? That'd be awesome. And then you move on and you find people around you. Most of us want to grow up and be like our dads, right? Until I was a teenager and I'm like, man, I don't want to climb around in attics for the rest of my life because he works hard, right? And so there's all these things that we want to do. And then sometimes we have this dream that we've held on to. And then what happens to that dream sometimes? That it never comes to fruition or our purpose. So here's the question. Why did God give you the background that you have? Why did God give you the personality that you have? Why did God give you the experiences that you have? What is it for? What does it mean? What are you supposed to do with it? And how can you find God's purpose for your life? See, some of you have done this up until this moment. You're just skating through life. Man, however the wind blows, you just kind of have that, let's just go with it. Man, life is good. I live on the beach. Life is good. I'm just taking it one day at a time. Anybody ever heard that? I'm just taking whatever comes, I'm just dealing with it as it comes. Okay, that's not called purpose, all right? That's not purpose. That's called whimsical, right? And it just, whimsical doesn't get the job done. Whimsical just blows with the wind. And God didn't call you this morning to live a life that is blown and tossed to and fro. God's called you to live out a purpose. So I want to give you a couple things this morning. This, number one, you can't change what has happened before you. Anybody ever heard of the term the greatest generation? Right? If you're not a history fan, you might not. Go home, Google it, look it up. It's talking about the people that built this nation and the people that would work like no tomorrow to industrialize us and move us into technology and to do things that we've never done before and to take us places we've never been before. The greatest nation, greatest generation. Listen, you can't affect that's already happened before us. You can't change what has happened in the generations before you. And listen to me, one day you're going to leave this earth and you're going to move on to eternity and you won't be able to change what happens beyond you. So God has called you in this moment, at this point in time, to make a difference right where you are in the generation that you're living in this very moment. God's called you to make a difference. And we need to change this morning from being this lethargic existence to being about our Father's business. To have purpose that is permeated throughout our lives. That it's not just something that we talk about. It's not a book or a study that we go get in a class we just sit through. But it's something that we live out day in, day out. That God has a plan and a purpose for you right where you are. So this morning, I want to tell you about this, that at the cross, you will find purpose. For the last couple of weeks, we've placed things upon the cross, and you're welcome to do it at any time. Things that we want to see God do amazing in our lives, things that we want to let go of in our lives, and we place them on this cross as a symbol to God, that we want to find change in our lives. We want to give things up, God, because we believe it will move us forward in our walk with you. And it's a part of understanding the purpose and the moving forward in our lives. But at the cross this morning, one of the things I want us to understand is that purpose permeates. Now, I want to read this to you this morning because we've all heard the word permeate and we kind of have an idea of what it means. But here's how Webster defines permeate. As to pass through or to spread through something. It passes through or it spreads through to something. So, man, when I was reading this, now you might not get as excited about it as I did, because obviously you're not real excited at the moment, so we're going to get there, okay? Thank you. Courtesy laughs. Always appreciated. But as we look at our lives, how do we get to the understanding that purpose comes only through the cross? And that when we have an experience with God at the cross of Calvary, where Jesus Christ gave up his life for us, that purpose will permeate through every aspect of our being. You say, well, hang on, Ivan, you know, I'm a believer, and I've done all these things, and I believe in the work of the cross, but I just don't feel like I have purpose. Well, then today is for you. It's time for you to grasp hold of what God is trying to say to you in this moment. Now listen, an experience of the cross requires this great thing called surrender. Everybody say surrender. And one of the problems that we have as believers in experiencing the purposes of God is that we talk about surrender, but we don't live it. Let me say that one more time. We talk about surrender, but we don't live it. We come to church and we raise our hands. Oh, God, I surrender. We sing all these songs. I surrender all to you. I surrender. Oh, Lord, I'm surrender. But then we walk out of here and then we don't have a conversation with God till the next time we walk into church. Because we've not wholly surrendered our lives at the foot of the cross. And until we surrender our lives to God at the foot of the cross, purpose will never permeate through our existence, our being, our lives, our jobs, anything that we touch. Until we give it all over to God. Purpose will permeate at the cross. Listen, God has plans for you. He has huge plans for you. He has these ideas and these dreams that he wants you to follow. But until you get an ear that can hear, it's going to be hard to find what God is saying to you. So I want you to write down a couple of things this morning. How do you let purpose permeate your life? Number one, seek him. Number two, serve him. And number three, trust him. Those are our three topics this morning. Seek him, serve him, and trust him. So we're going to start with seek him. How do we begin to seek God? Now, this is a question that we've talked about over and over and over. But here's the thing. It changes for us. There was times in my life, man, that I could just begin to pray. And, man, it was like heaven met me wherever I was. The car, the shower, the closet, walking down the street. It was like I could feel the power and the presence of God. Whatever I was doing, all I had to do was just start saying, God, I need you to work. God, I want to see you. And it was amazing. Anybody ever had moments like that? But then we had moments like this. It didn't matter what I did, where I went. I could lay myself out on the altar. I could beg God. God, speak to me. Show up. And guess what I heard? Whole bunch of nothing. Anybody besides Ivan? Right? And that's why we have this last part we're going to get to about trusting him. Because if he just did all this all the time for us, well, there wouldn't really need to be a reason to trust, right? Sometimes we go through seasons that require us to trust God. Listen, we're in it right now. We have two young people sitting in a hospital in Central Florida being treated for cancer. Man, we're all trusting God. If you haven't committed to pray for them, please, I'm asking you today, day in, day out, put them on your prayer list. And let's get down to business with God to see these young people healed. And not just them, but other people on our prayer list as well. Listen, we have to trust that God is going to do amazing things. And trust is built when we begin to seek Him. And the number one way that we seek God is to get into His Word. See, the Bible is just not a historical book, a historical document that we just refer to go, oh yeah, that was a time period and all these things. The Bible is the map of our lives. How many of you have GPS in your car? How many of you have a GPS on your phone? Thank you. You are so technically savvy. You guys, a bunch of techies, all. And guess what? How many of us need it? Where are my honest people? All right? Where are my people that just have this natural sense of ability and they can go anywhere at any time? Thank you. May God deal with your souls, right? Whatever. Their wives are going, they think they do, right? Man, if you've ever been lost or you've ever visited a big city and you just wandered around and you thought you could find something, and back in the days that we had the map and we had to have a navigator to look at the map, right? Or if you were really talented, you laid it up on the dash and read it as you went. I don't know anybody that's ever done that, but if you did that, right? There's a reason that we have maps. There's a reason that we have directions. There's a reason that all this money is involved in technology and helping us get from point A to point B. It's because people don't want to be lost. Nobody wants to be lost. People want to be able to find their way. If you go to the big city of Miami and you get off on one of the side streets, if you're cruising down the interstate and you find yourself in a place that doesn't look so friendly, they have these little signs that you look for. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You just look for the sun and you follow the sun and it will lead you to safety. Right? If you've ever been to try it out, next time you're there, you'll see them. They're little round things. They're posted on all kinds of byways and pathways. That way, if you find yourself somewhere you think this is probably not the place for me, then you find that sun and the sun will lead you to safety. Man, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? The sun will lead you to safety. God has plans and purposes for us as we seek Him and as we look for Him and as we reach for Him. God is speaking to us in ways that we never thought were possible, but we have to have the ears that are able to hear, and it starts by seeking God, by getting into His Word. Listen, God is not just going to magically put it into your brain today. It's not going to happen. You have to think and you have to be challenged by the Word as you read it and you meditate upon it and you toss it over and you turn it over in your life and you say, God, what does this mean to me? How do we know God's plan without ever breaking out the map? Go with me to Psalm 139, 13 through 17. I'm going to read it fast. For you were created in my inmost being. You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. You want to meditate on something? Take that passage right there and make it your passage for this week. How vast are the sum of your thoughts, O God, that God has known you from the beginning of time. That when God ordained this life, He looked down through the halls of time and He saw your life. He saw you sitting right where you are this morning and He purposed a plan for you. But He's waiting for you to get on track with that plan. Through seeking Him, through His Word. I love that part. It says that He ordained all the days of your life before one of them even came to be. Man, you want to talk about a God that has thought through things. Man, that you're fearfully and you're wonderfully made. You think that He makes something wonderful and doesn't have a plan for it? Where are my builders and my craftspeople? Right now, I have a 9-year-old, man. She's making all kinds of stuff at home. She can tear some stuff up and she can make a mess. But she's all creative and she's in there and she's making things. And look, she has a plan for everything she makes. And she likes to make crafts and drawings and paintings. And she's got a place to hang every one of them. Or she's going to take it to school and she's going to show it off. And many of you are talented and you're good with craft things. And you walk up to doors and you're like, oh, I can make something like that. That'll look good hanging on my door or on my wall or my collage or whatever you got going in your decor. And men are just standing there going, good job, honey, right? But men are no different. We have our shops, our man caves, our garages, our toys. We have all these things we want to make, and we have these purposes for them. And sometimes they're just a big pile of stuff that we've never really completed the purpose for. And what God is saying to us this morning is this: don't just be a pile of material. Be something that has a purpose and a plan and is actively working and changing to make me known and to know me so that I can do things that you never thought were possible. God doesn't want you just to exist. He wants you to get busy about his business. Seek him. And you start with the word, prayer, worship, fellowship like we're doing right now, meditating on the word. When I say meditate, I'm talking about just reading the scripture, thinking about it over and over. God, what does this mean? God, what are you saying to me through this passage? Reveal yourself to me, God. Meditate on it. The second thing this morning is this: to serve him. I'm baffled by this one. If you know me, I'm just kind of a take charge kind of guy. If things need to be done, it's not time to talk. It's time to what? Time to do. Let's work. Let's get this done. Stop looking at it. We've been doing that for 2 weeks. Let's pick it up. Let's do something with it. Let's get rolling here. I always tell our staff, don't come to me with a problem. Come to me with a solution. Right? Because it doesn't do any good if we all just sit here this morning and go, oh, well, we know the lost need to be reached. Oh, Lord, reach the lost, Lord. Amen, Lord, reach the lost. But if we don't ever go do anything and speak to the lost, do we just think it's magically going to happen? It's not. Somebody has to go. Somebody has to do the work. Somebody has to pray. Somebody has to intercede. Somebody has to be the hands and feet of Jesus to every single person on this earth. Guess what? That's you. That's you. I can't go to your job. I wouldn't if I could. God didn't call me to go to your job. He called you to go to your job. He called you to talk to your coworker that you despise. He called you to speak to your boss that just harps on you about everything you do. He called you to be the example, the light and love of Jesus to that person by seeking him, by serving him, and making him known to those people that you touch every day. I can't do it for you. Our staff can't do it for you. See, churches have become this place where the idea is that you just invite them to church and then the pastor saves them. Right? That's what the idea has become. Just get them to church. Julie and the team's going to have great music and it's going to speak to the depths of their heart. And then Ivan or Adam's going to come up and he's going to have this message and it's just going to break down every emotional barrier they have. And God's going to speak to them and they're going to get saved. And then me and them can high five and now we can start a Bible study at work. Right? But that's not what God's called us to do. God's called us as a church to equip you to be the saints that go into the world and do the work of Jesus Christ. He's called you to go. He didn't call you to come. We just come for edification and the building up of the body and to get into the word together, to go out with a purpose to reach people for the kingdom of God. Serve. I find this so amusing sometimes because people tell me, Ivan, I just don't know what I should do. I just don't know where I should be doing for the kingdom. And I'm like, well, you know, we need some help in the nursery. No, I hate kids. Okay, well, you know, I don't know what I should do, though. I know that's great, but that's not for me. Well, you know what? There's some computer stuff we can do. No, man, I'm not tech savvy. You know, that's not my thing. I don't even have a cell phone. You know, and if I would, I would just get a flip phone because there's other things too hard to use. And I don't like how people use their thumbs. Y'all see where I'm going with that? And then I'm like, well, what about hospitality? You seem to talk good. So how about you could just shake some, oh, man, I germs, Ivan. Don't like when people touch my hands. And I hate to have to clean my hands in front of people because that's a little weird. So I don't want to weird anybody out, Ivan. So, okay, well, how about this? How about you serve in the kitchen? Man, you know, roaches come to food and this stuff. And it's just not clean. And grease gets under my finger. And we make excuse after excuse after excuse. about why we can't serve when there's 14,000 opportunities standing right in front of us. And God's saying, get involved. Do something. Show me one time that Christ went anywhere, that he didn't just pick it up and make it happen. Give me one example. When you follow Christ throughout the New Testament, wherever he went, he made it happen. If they were hungry, he's like, all right, guys, you get up here, you do this, you take care of that, bring me those baskets. I got this. All right, woo, feed them. Right? That's paraphrased, okay? Loosely, very loosely. Read the Bible. It'd be a great story. And he made it happen. He didn't get the disciples together and go, okay, where are my food, people? Hospitality, where are you guys at? Okay, I know you don't like germs. Get to the back. I know. I know you don't like people. Move aside, right? Kids, yeah, not his thing. Move over, right? He didn't do that. He said, take these out there and feed these people. They're hungry. And then I'm going to speak. And then we're going to heal these people. We're going to pray for these people. God's going to do amazing things right here on this hillside. I know the AC is not working. Right? Because see, we got to be comfortable. It's got to be something we enjoy. And that's not what God's called to do when he's called us to serve. What should I do, Lord? Where should I get involved? Wherever there is a need. Get involved. Do something for the kingdom. You can't do it here. Look, it's not about just what we do at church. Yeah, there's needs to be met right here. But the ultimate goal of serving is to serve the lost till they find Jesus Christ. That's the ultimate goal of what we do. Man, get busy at your work. Go to your neighbor that sits beside you and say, you know what, man? I've been thinking about this. A lot of people got problems here. Hey, on Monday mornings, why don't you and I just meet for 5 minutes? And let's just pray for what's going on here at work. We'll come in 5 minutes early. Man, that's serving. That's being busy about the Father's business. Because I guarantee you that one person will grow. Say, next week you bring one and I'm going to bring one. And the next thing you know, you're going to have prayer meeting every Monday morning before work for what's going on right where you are. God will give you the opportunity. He'll give you the opportunity. Start something. Start a neighborhood Bible study. Get out there and do something. If you got a neighbor, it's your job to reach them for the kingdom of God. It's your job to be a good influence on them. It's your job to talk to them. It's your job to get out there and know what's going on in their lives. Hey, man, I'll pray with you about that. I'll help you with that. Start something. Get busy about God's business. Listen to this, Romans 12, 9 through 13. You want to write a good one down? Write this one down. Romans 12, 9 through 13. Let love be without hypocrisy. Period. Let love be without hypocrisy. See, we can't love and make excuses, because that's hypocrisy. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. When's the last time you heard that word, abhor? Man, that means to hate like no tomorrow. Be disgusted by evil. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. You want to serve? There's your mantra right there. You don't have a purpose in life? Just take that and make that passage your purpose. God, how can I do these things? God, where can I do these things? Show me. Open doors for me. God, I don't want to see any more obstacles. What do I want to see, church? Opportunities. Come on, that was weak. We don't want to see obstacles. We want to see opportunities. Opportunities. God, wherever I am, opportunities. Serve him. Last this morning, I got to wrap things up. Trust him. Trust him. You want to find purpose? Trust God that you don't have to do it on your own. Trust him that God has a purpose and a plan for you. He's taking you somewhere if you'll just open your eyes and open your ears and get in his word. He's got a plan for you. He wants to take you somewhere. Go with me to Proverbs 3. We always read verses 5 and 6, but I want to read 5 through 10 this morning. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways Acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. We like to stop right there, but I'm not going to stop there. Let's go on. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all of your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Listen, we like just the first two of that, 5 and 6. Because the rest of it requires us to do something. We love the praying for people. And I pray for people all the time. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to what you know. Acknowledge God in all your ways. He'll direct your paths. His word says that. But then he says, don't be wise in your own eyes. Love that. Because we're like, oh God, bless me, bless me, bless me. Right? Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Stop doing the things that you're doing that aren't beneficial to you. Stop doing the things that you're doing that aren't moving you forward in your walk, that's hindering you from knowing God and making him known. And it may not be crazy things. You say, well, Ivan, I don't sleep around on my spouse. Great, great place to start. So, Ivan, I don't do drugs. Fantastic. Great place to start. Ivan, I'm not an alcoholic. Wonderful. Great place to start. Because those are the ones that we like to talk about first. Those are our first three big ones, right? But then we forget about all the other things that we do that are just the little things that God has told us not to do. Stop gossiping. Stop talking about the people that you work with. Get out of the gossip chain. I have a quick fix for you. They come to you tomorrow morning. They start talking to you. They say, listen, I can no longer be a part of the gossip here at work because I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. But thank you, and I'll be praying for you guys. I assure you, that will be the last time that they come to you. Assured. But the problem is, the scripture's telling us about it. We cling to those things because we want to be in the loop. And we want to feel like, hey, you know what? I'm doing good and I'm glad I'm not them. That's the truth. And what God is saying is depart from evil. And then when you do these things, it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. The deepest part of you will be strength for you. You'll benefit from it. And then he turns around and he says, honor God with your possessions. You know what he's talking about right there? He's talking about giving. He's saying, give because you can't outgive me. He's saying, when you give, I'll give even more. You can't outgive me. You can't give more than I can give. And when you give of your possessions and you work and you move towards the things that I'm trying to move you towards, your vats will overflow. Now, I know in your house, you don't have a giant vat, okay? Because this is talking biblical times. But guess what we do have? We have bank accounts, right? Savings accounts. We have those things. And I'm not preaching a prosperity message this morning, church. What I'm preaching to you is this, is that when you do what God's called you to do, he will bless you in every aspect of your lives. Financially, health, family, he'll pour his spirit out over and over and over. He will. He's assured us. Trust him. Being faithful means this. We're full of faith and that we trust him in everything. So if we believe this stuff, if we believe these passages, how do we let go and give it all to God? It only happens at the cross. It only happens at the cross. When we learn to trust God with everything we have, his purpose will permeate our lives. Last scripture this morning, Proverbs 25. I love this. The purposes of a person's heart are deep waters. The purposes of a person's heart are deep waters, but one who has insight draws them out. The only way you're going to have insight this morning is to stick in God's word. The only way you're going to have insight this morning is to get busy trusting God. The only way you're going to find insight this morning is to serve wherever you can serve and to get busy about our Father's business. Man, it's deep waters. The purposes of our heart. It's deep. God wants to do amazing things through us. Listen, I'm asking you to pray with me this morning. That as we move forward, that we'll find purpose permeating our lives as we surrender to the cross. Man, as we move forward as a body of believers and in individual lives and families, as you're praying for God's direction and God to take you to that new place in your life, that you will join with me in praying and saying, God, teach us how to seek you. God, teach us how to serve unabandonedly, God, that we don't make excuses when there's a need right in front of us. That, God, that we'll learn to trust you with everything that we have because you're the one who gave it to us in the first place. God, help me. Help me. Listen, church, at the cross, purpose permeates. And find a place this morning where you can seek God, serve God, and trust him as he moves you forward to reveal himself to you in every aspect of your life. Let's pray together this morning.